Grace and peace. You're listening to United We Pray. Taking racial struggles to the throne of grace, United We Pray is a ministry devoted to prayer about racial strife, especially between Christians. We want to help Christians pray and think about race in ways that are biblical and helpful, clear and hopeful. You can learn more about our work at uwepray.com. That's uwepray.com, where you can find articles, previous episodes, and more. Grace and peace, friends. Welcome back to United We Pray. Austin Suter joined today by Mike Ahn, Interim Dean of Social Development at Biola. Did I get all that right, Mike?
Interim Dean of Spiritual Development, but I could be social development too if you want me to be.
How did I get that right? Spiritual development. That's way more important.
Well, spirituality is all encompassing, right? Social is part of the spiritual too. So, yeah.
That's great. Mike and I met when Isaac and I went out to Biola earlier this year, had a great time, really enjoyed Mike, really enjoyed seeing Mike with the students and seeing the love and respect they have for him. So Mike, we are thrilled and pleased that you said yes to come on with us.
No, I'm so honored, and you're wearing the shirt, so thanks for representing the conference too, and so thank you.
Gotta say, whoever you've got making your shirts, as far as promotional shirts go, which is like most of my wardrobe, this is definitely the nicest one. So Mike, where are you from?
You know, I grew up around Los Angeles. I'm from the Pasadena, Glendale area. My parents are immigrants from Korea. My dad's from South Korea. My mom was actually, her family's from North Korea. And, you know, the story that they tell is that they were on the last boat out of North Korea and down to Busan in South Korea. And my mom was in my grandmother's belly. You know, my grandmother's throwing up over the boat, and they get to South Korea and make it out of the war, you know. So my parents grew up in wartime Korea, decided, hey, this is not something we need. We need some more opportunity. They move and immigrate to America in the 70s locate themselves in Los Angeles, in Hollywood. So that's where I was until I was about 10, until I was about 5, Pasadena area, and then Glendale after that.
What a story. I mean, I think folks, you know, my age and younger can forget what life was like for some of the previous generation. I mean, that is a wild story.
Yeah, you know, to be honest, it's hard for me to kind of imagine what that would have been like as well. You know, growing up in America, and my parents really did give everything they have for my brother and I and our cousins. And so sometimes we don't even understand the sacrifices that they've made. And so we're grateful.
Yeah. So what was life like growing up in Southern California? Did you grow up in a diverse environment?
You know, Southern California is relatively diverse. I think that's something we kind of understand. I think there are pockets of diversity in Southern California. People tend to kind of cloister in their ethnic or in their groups. And then I think for me, growing up in Pasadena, it was a diverse environment. You know, you have the Black, you have the White, you have some of the Asian and the Latino. And I think a lot of my life growing up was kind of navigating differences and trying to figure out in school, like, you know, how do I get along with all these different faces, all these different people? You know, but on the weekends, we went to church in Koreatown in L.A., and this church was an immigrant Korean church. And so you're always with people who are living that similar type of experience throughout the week. So the weekends were very special for me in church, where I would meet with my friends and we would basically talk through like what it was like during the week. I mean, we didn't share that deeply, but it was sort of like, oh, that happened on the football field. That's kind of what happened to me in PE too, you know? So there was like this camaraderie that was developed in the church, and that was special, that that kind of thing was happening. For me, it helped me feel seen and helped me feel known in throughout the week, when Monday through Friday, it might be very difficult to see myself connecting with other people in a deeper way.
Yeah, I'm glad you had that space. I mean, that's really special community. So I'm in Birmingham, and mm-hmm. the South is kind of known as being a place of racial unrest, but California has its own complicated, sometimes violent racial history. How was that for you? I mean, in your timeline, what was your experience with that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I firmly remember Rodney King and the LA riots. This was, I think, 92. In Korean you call it 429, so it was April 29 that we kind of all blew up. So like, yeah, I think for me it's complicated because for me growing up watching TV, it's like you're watching TV and you see certain shows, and I was always taken to some of the black shows because like there's white shows, there's black shows, something like Family Matters, or I remember the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That was actually an important one for me. But and you want to, I for me it's like I just gravitated toward the people of color, and you're like, we should be friends. There's something about us that we need to figure this out together. But I think seeing black and Korean especially being pitted against each other on TV through the riots, and then learning about some of the complicated history with the shooting the year before of the Korean owner shooting Latasha Harlins. I realize there's a complex history between black and Korean and black and Asian, especially in LA. And so when all these things happened with Rodney King and the police brutality, the anger that is exploding, it just went up the street. South Central LA is below the 10, Koreatown is right above the 10. And so, just kind of went up the street, and seeing these stores on TV that I've been inside on fire, seeing people on rooftops with guns trying to protect their property. It's just, it was a complex, like, I would just ask, what's happening here to my parents? And my parents are like, oh, they're protecting themselves, but I'm like, but they have guns. Like, what's going on? There was just like, I just had so many questions, and I didn't know how to answer some of those things. And then, Austin, I think some of these things that happened in the last few years, with COVID, it kind of helped me revisit some of those things that happened. Again, police brutality, some of the anger in the black community, and then again, some of this spilling out into Asian communities. And some of the hate and some of the brutality against Asians too. It just kind of like there's a complexity, to the racial dynamics in America that I'm not, we just need Jesus in this, and
Yeah, we
I,
do.
yeah. So there's it's complicated in Southern California too. Absolutely.
Well, you mentioned even just on the representation piece on watching TV, you saw black shows, you saw white shows. And I think that's representative of kind of how we think about race in the States is we think about the white-black divide. And of course, that's there. And in some sense, that's you need to understand that before you understand race relations in America, but that's not the entire story. Sometimes we have that conversation to the detriment of other conversations like the Asian American experience. Have you felt that?
Yeah, I feel like as an Asian person, as a Korean American, I've always tried to find myself somewhere in the white, black, dichotomy, divide. Somewhere in the middle of that, it's like, where am I? Where do I fit? I know a lot of Latino brothers and sisters feel similarly. I think there's a way of like, how do we see ourselves not only on screen but in popular culture? But it's a way of trying to understand and see that people understand us. And it's not necessarily just, oh, I need to see myself on TV. It's a sense of like, not feeling part of the conversation, always feeling othered. That's a stereotype for Asians. It's just like this perpetual foreigner kind of mentality where, people are always asking us, hey, where are you from? I'm from LA. No, where are you really from? And I know what they're asking, but it's like they're asking, what's your ethnicity? Or where are your parents from? Or where's home? And I'm like, my home is right here down the street, but it's there's always this perpetual foreigner to us. And then, like I think just being in the black white divide, it's weird as you see certain things. It's just like we get pit the Asians get pitted against black by the white people, or against white people by the black people. And so there's like this weird thing that happens, like we that and that's sort of like the model minority thing, the model minority myth where Asians are high achieving, they have better jobs and this and that. But again, I think that's certain kinds of Asians or certain people. But Asians are very complex, right? Southeast Asians probably make, they don't his the data shows that they don't make as much, especially Southeast Asian women, right, as some of the maybe like South Asian men in technology or whatnot. So there's a complexity to even what is an Asian American. Just because you're Asian American does not mean we've made it in America, and doesn't mean we've made it in certain economic fields. And again, in this black white dichotomy, you know, it's like Asians are used a certain way when it's convenient to the white agenda against black people, for example, like affirmative action. Okay. So you find some Asians who want to stand up against it, or, you know, want to repeal it. And it's like, okay, you use Asians a certain way because of their model minority myth, you know. And then, you know, again, you know, black people might be like, hey, Asians, you guys are too white, you know. So again, we're just kind of like caught in the middle of some of this. And I think, what I am encouraged about, Austin, is that there are more and more stories told from an Asian perspective. And I know more and more TV shows and movies are coming from Asian directors and Asian perspectives. So the stories are being told, and we don't have to be found in the black-white dichotomy, but we can start telling some of our own stories. And I think that's an important part of what it means to be in America, you know, in a multicultural world.
Yeah, certainly. And the telling of your own story can just show the complexity of it. That what do you even mean when you're talking about an Asian American? There's many ethnicities represented within that. It's not
that's right.
Too often we paint with a broad brush. But you spoke about the perpetual otherness, and I was just really convicted a few years ago by an article that we will link to in the show notes that was actually written by the best man at my wedding. And this is, you know, he's one of my best friends. I've known him for years. And in a lot of ways, because he grew up in the Midwest, very rural. I grew up in rural Virginia, and we had just a lot in common, similar interests. And both found ourselves in D.C. and just became really good friends really quickly. But he wrote this article about his feeling of perpetual otherness and how he is just made to feel like an outsider in majority white culture. And I read it, and I had no idea about any of that. And I went to him like, what in the world? I had no idea about this. Why didn't you say anything? And he's like, well, you never asked. And I was like, oh, dang. And I was conscious of racial issues and thinking about things, but I had never considered that he had a different experience than I did, because we had so much in common. I thought it was, you know, he had the same experience of America that I did, and clearly not. And that was just my ignorance on full display, per usual.
Yeah, you know, there's something about Asianness and some of the values. There's a compliance in some sense, you know, and fitting in without sticking out. There is a value in that. There's a value in the collective experience and saying we're all part of something. And so when you're speaking out against, so I think it's kind of fit in some of this where Asians have found a way to fit into what it means to kind of blend in. And I think, again, I think Asian Americans are starting to realize, number one, we need to band together a little bit more. Again, the Asian American idea is a very, I think it was like a census type of kind of political type of, what do you call it, label, I guess, you know. I think, you know, even in American history, the black label was to recognize that black people are 2/3 human or whatnot. So like, or 3/5 human, or, you know, there's some of these complexities in like what race means, and there's a dehumanizing of this. But for Asians, it's sort of like, Asians are put together, but, you know, in Korea, you know, like my grandparents, they cannot stand Japanese people because of Japanese imperialism, you know. But, you know, in America, we stick together because we're all Asian Americans here, you know. And so as we learn to stick together and have conversations, I think we're learning to have our voice and not just simply be compliant and just kind of blend in. And I think that's an encouraging sign, you know. You know, the scary thing, you know, just if I could say so as an Asian American male, you know, again, I think Asian American males, we can be compliant and docile, and I think we do well in that kind of space. And sometimes it's always said that Asian American males are really good number twos in organizations, you know, but sometimes Asian American males, especially when we start to find our voice, can be a little bit more assertive. And, you know, there's that stereotype of even like the angry Asian American male or the angry Asian man, you know. So there's this way of like learning to talk that maybe is not completely composed. And there's a little bit of rage that's kind of growing in the Asian American male experience. But again, I think there are things that are happening across the country that is encouraging, and we're trying to bring our voice to the table. If that's okay.
Yeah.
To say.
Well, you know, we wanted to have you on, and we certainly didn't ask you to come and speak on behalf of every Asian American. Like, you're not here as an emissary, but
yeah.
For our listeners who maybe primarily think about race in terms of the black-white divide, what are some issues you would encourage them to think about and be aware of to love their Asian American brothers and sisters better?
I mean, you know, like, there's something special about Asian churches. You know, genuinely, like, in immigrant churches, people go to church and stay at church. And there's a community that is deeply felt. You know, I remember growing up in the immigrant church and going to people's houses, even hour away, just to have dinner. And then they would talk and pray and do Bible study. And these are like 20 families. And so all the kids would kind of go into the kids' room or whatnot. And everyone would be there. And there's something special. There's always good food. You know, people are always eating together. People are always talking. And, you know, just seeing people pray together and care for each other. And, you know, sometimes even in a big church or in a church setting, just recognizing, oh, hey, Mike, we're going to go to this funeral. And I'm like, I don't even know these people. You know, why am I going to this funeral? But they're just part of the church. There's a way of going through the parts of life that that the church does together. Even if I didn't really know them and my parents are like, yeah, I don't really know them, but they're part of our church. We're going to go do this together. There's something special about living life together that I think Asian American churches or Asian immigrant churches have done really well. And I think that's something we can learn. I'm still learning, to be honest. But again, I think there's such a value for family. You know, there's such a value for wanting to see each other do well. There's such a value for seeing each other strive and thrive in society that I think there's a lot of things in that we can learn, I think, from Asian American contexts. And again, you know, sometimes Asian Americans, we all look alike. You know, or people, and again, it's a stereotype, and people, again, they're from very different countries. They're from very different lands. You know, again, you got Eastern Asians, you got Southeast Asians, you got South Asians. You know, even Arab people are considered Asians, right? They're part of the Middle East, but they're Asian too. And all of us have different complexities and stories. And so, yeah, there's a way that we're going to begin to talk and describe our experiences that are going to be very important.
What are some of the challenges faced by Asian Americans, either historical or contemporary?
Yeah, you know, again, I think this foreigner, the perpetual foreigner thing is, it's just always there. You know, I think of even COVID and the Atlanta shootings of Asian women at the spa. And again, it's because they were Asian. You know, there's this foreign, and again, Asian American women are sort of exotic, and they're sort of like fetishized a certain way. And there's a way of, yeah, and there's other things happening for women, unfortunately. But again, you know, historically, just even like legally, there was the Chinese Exclusion Act, you know, in the late 19th century, yeah. You know, and Japanese internment camps, you know, around World War II. And again, it might say Chinese or it might say Japanese, but, you know, anyone who had an Asian skin tone would be put into these kinds of categories. And so, and, you know, I even think about, you know, I remember reading about Vincent Chin in the early 80s. And, you know, just being, there's these, you know, with some of the anti-Japanese things, and he wasn't even Japanese, you know? So there's all of these things that happen just because we're Asian. Again, yeah, there's Asia has become an easy outlet, and an easy way to, you know, like, I guess hate against, because, you know, again, we're perceived as docile, we're perceived as nice, we're perceived as people who try to fit in and not fight back. And so there's a sense where we need to really recognize that is what we are up against, and we need to do a better job of owning our own voice and owning our own space here in America.
Yeah. And as you mentioned earlier, I'm pleased to see that happening, not enough, but certainly more than in years past in popular culture and in other opportunities like that. So praise God for what progress has been made. But we've mentioned it a couple times. I think it's worth talking about COVID-19 and the pandemic, because I think while all Americans have suffered, Asian Americans have suffered uniquely in that. Can you speak to that at all?
Yeah, you know, there are groups like Stop AAPI Hate and other groups that have risen up. There's a lot of data to this now. But, you know, there's stories of, you know, in New York where people are pushed into the subway just because they're Asian, you know? Or like, and this is only within the last few years, you know? There's lots of stories in San Francisco, you know, of just breaking into and hurting Asians. And again, some of these stereotypes have lasted for a long time. You know, I know there's been clips from Steve Harvey, you know, making fun of how Asian American men are good looking, you know, or like, you know, with Linsanity and Jeremy Lin, you know, Asians aren't athletic. They just can't make it in a certain way. So again, there's always these stereotypes that it always feels like we're fighting upstream a little bit, but yeah, it's, you know, there's a sense of we have to find our voice together and work together. And again, the hate that has been put against us, I think we have to start pushing back in a way that can speak to the audiences. And again, having data, developing pop culture, developing certain academic research and presentations. And again, I think representation means a lot. Representation isn't everything. And obviously, I don't mean tokenizing Asians. And again, I hear that's not necessarily what's happening here. I can't speak for all Asian Americans, but there's importance in representation too, just to get people's voices at the table and even maybe even creating different tables, you know? So it's important to make sure that we're trying to understand, where people are coming from.
Do you think that's the big takeaway for our listeners, most of whom are primarily, you know, majority culture, white evangelicals, as they, if they're listening to this, they're probably inclined towards wanting to love their Asian American brothers and sisters better. Is that the primary takeaway, is to let them tell their story?
I mean, stories are so powerful, you know, stories allow a person to be heard. Stories allow empathy to enter the picture. Stories allow the person to feel humanized. And again, I think, there, you know, in the black-white binary, it's not necessarily that I wanted to be white or Asians want to be white. It's just that white people feel like they're humans in some sense on TV. Or white people feel a little bit more humanized across culture, or respected. And again, I think it's that pull. It's this humanization pull. It's just treating people as humans, as people made in the image of God. You know, I'm thinking about my daughter, who's now 13, but when she was little, she used to play with Doc McStuffins. If you know Doc McStuffins, Doc McStuffin is a black nurse, and she plays with her dolls and has surgery on her dolls. And and she wanted Doc McStuffins for Christmas. And I'm like, why do you want Doc McStuffins? And she says, because I look like Doc McStuffins. And I was like, wow, that is very different. Just for me growing up, hearing my girl cousins, they didn't want black dolls, you know, they wanted white dolls. You know, there were no Asian dolls, but they wanted white dolls. And I'm like, again, there's some sort of a hierarchy happening in our culture. There's always been a hierarchy. But again, now there's Mulan and there's all these other dolls and there's all these other things that are happening. And so, again, I think there are stories to be told and heard. And again, if that is what we're leaving with, I think that is a great place to start conversing with our friends.
Well, thank you for coming on, for sharing your story, for being vulnerable. I really appreciate your contribution. As we close, would you pray with me for our listeners and for our Asian American brothers and sisters? I can open and have you close us out.
Great. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, thank you for Mike. Thank you for the wisdom you've given him. Thank you for his courage and grace as he shares his experience. And Lord, we thank you for providing him with the church he grew up in and that community and all that that has taught him and equipped him, I think, to love others well. We pray for our listeners, for Asian Americans who feel misunderstood or excluded or othered. We pray that you would put people in their lives to love them well, to include them, to empower them, to give them space to share their story and to be themselves and be included without having to change or adapt to a different culture. Lord, give us grace to do that well, to avoid tokenizing, to avoid exclusion, and to love all of those made in your image. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks. Thanks, Jesus, that you create all people in your image. Thank you for the various stories that I've heard across the Asian American landscape, knowing that everyone's experiences are a little bit different, but you are moving in their stories in such unique ways. Thank you for Austin and the ministry here with Isaac as well. And we pray that this ministry will help open up eyes and help share stories that we can understand how your grace flows in our culture, in our country, and in our culture. And this podcast and this ministry will provide healing for the people who need it. So we open our hearts to that. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mike, for the work you're doing. Thanks for the time and being on today.
Thanks for having me. Again, honored.
Absolutely. We're glad. All right. Grace and peace.
Thank you for listening to this episode of United We Pray. You can find more information about our work at uwepray.com. That's uweepray.com. United We Pray is a donor-supported ministry, and if you are interested in supporting our work, you can find out more information on the website.